Well, Edward announced Carrion for next Sunday, and next weekend is a holiday weekend. Brother Richmond said they're going to Ohio. I think Vaughn's going to be gone. And if you don't want to come, I won't know the difference between what you had to go visit relatives or whether you didn't want to come. Praise God. All right. So remember the nursing home service tomorrow night. As you think about it, breathe a prayer. The Lord will bless our labors and efforts there in that service. And I think Brother Ken has prayer meeting this week. He's been on hold week after week. I mean, I don't know whether that's good or bad, but that's... he'll be ready. Amen. Found in the 46th Psalm. Praise God. This 46th Psalm was the basis of Martin Luther's Reformation song, "Mighty Fortress Is Our God." This was the basis of it. But we're just going to, I'm going to read it, but I'm just going to lift out verse 4 for our text tonight. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. Cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your divine presence that we've already sensed in this service tonight. Thank you for the songs of Zion and for the testimonies to victory. We pray you'd sustain and help individuals, Lord, that are pressing the battle, those that have gotten help in the revival. We pray you'd sustain them and strengthen them and help them to not give place to the devil in any way whatsoever. We pray that you'd get honor and glory unto thyself, minister to our souls tonight, and we'll give thee praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. A lot of great cities have been built on rivers. New York City on the Hudson, London on the Thames, Paris on the Seine. But Jerusalem doesn't have a river. And yet the psalmist declared that it does. I believe as the psalmist looked round about to the heathen nations that would encompass Israel all around, And then he would behold the tabernacle. He said, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Realize the tabernacle that was there in Jerusalem, the place of worship in the city of Jerusalem. He realized there was a great flood of God's love and God's grace and God's mercy that was flowing unto them. Though they didn't have a great river, literally, to be built on, yet there was one in the spiritual sense tonight. There was a flow from the city of God, from the hand of God, from the heart of God that was flowing unto His people. And I believe tonight that there is a river. Praise God. The streams whereof make glad the city of God. I believe there's a river tonight if we can just tap into it. If we can just get to it. If we can just avail ourselves of that stream and of that flow that comes at the hand of God. There's several things that a river does. First of all, a river provides supply. There's going to come those times of summer drought. There's going to come those times where the animals and individuals will be seeking water. But oh, thank God, whenever we're right at the river, whenever we're right at the supply that comes, we've got it made. Praise God. Now they talk about the cities that pull their water out of rivers. And I don't know whether they literally do and then treat the water, but I do know that a lot of times they move back off of the river not very far and put their wells down. And no doubt that water in that stream to a large degree is supplying the supply to those wells. That for a fact. And whenever, even up here in Bedford, whenever the flood water gets up, it messes up their water supply, and you go in the restaurant and they have something that's different than what comes out of the tap. So what kind of a supply they have, I don't know. But that water provides a supply, and thank God for that supply spiritually tonight that quenches the thirst. Oh, I tell you, I don't know if you've ever really been thirsty. We used to work in the cotton fields, and some of those rows be maybe a quarter and a half a mile long, and the sun would be beating down, and we'd work so hard, and you'd be so hot and so dry and so thirsty, and the water would be on the other end, you know, and you'd just long to get to the other end, and it would be cool. And even if it wasn't, if it was just wet, that was good enough. I tell you, spiritually, God responds to the heart that's panting after the water brook. God responds to the heart that seeks God. God responds tonight to the individual that's hungry or thirsty and dry and reaching out unto Him. He delights to direct that flow and direct that river in your direction to encourage your heart and to satisfy you and to moisten your spiritual life so that it can come to fruition. Praise God. Well, we notice that not only does the river bring about a supply, but a river promotes purity. Pollution is washed away and carried on downstream. You know, we pray sometimes, the old timers used to pray for God would send revival. Oh, that God would send a gully washer. I tell you, you can collect a lot of things round about, a lot of driftwood and a lot of just whatever around the way. But whenever you really get a gully washer, I mean, whenever the water flows down and the streams begin to rise and it carries out a lot of the driftwood and a lot of things that have accumulated and takes her own downstream, never to be seen again. Hallelujah. And so it is whenever revival begins to come, and the water begins to flow, and the river begins to flow. Thank God, some of the old grudges and some of the old unforgiveness and some of the things that individuals thought that was so important, that no longer seems important, and it really doesn't matter in the light of the judgment and in the light of God's judgment and God's grace. It doesn't amount to anything. And thank God, the revival flood just washes it right on downstream, and it's gone forever. I say hallelujah. Praise God. The river fosters fertility. I suppose the classic example down through the ages has been the Nile River that overflows, that fertilizes and causes the lowlands that it would overflow to fertility. I suppose that's been the classic example. Carrying that amount of richness and that amount of topsoil from somewhere else and bringing it down and flowing out and leaving it there on the land to enrichen the land. Unless we have the fertility of the Spirit, we'll wither and die. There's no way, my friend, that we can gain enough, we can get as good of experience as what God would ever have for any individual at an altar of prayer. We can have that kind of an experience, and that's the kind He wants to give us. But we've got to maintain that. We've got to add fuel to the fire. We've got to fan the flame. We've got to walk in the light. We've got to be obedient. God wants to help us. The blessed Holy Ghost wants to fertilize and bring fertility to our hearts and to our lives so that we don't just wither away and die and give up and fail. I'll grant you, there's going to be some battles in this thing. There's going to be some problems, some difficulties. There's going to be some hardship. There's going to be some things that probably will be hard to endure. There's no place that He promised us a bed of roses. There's no place that He's promised us an easy way. But thank God, He has promised to go with us. Hallelujah. Praise God. What more could we want if the Savior walks with us? If He goes with us and helps us through the battles and through the hardships and the things that we face. There's something about the river that denotes division. Sometimes the river flows right through the city. And there's the east side or the west side. Or there's this city by whatever name and the city by the other name. Maybe it separates counties. Or maybe it separates states. But it makes a definite division because that river flows right on through. I suppose we'd be Kentuckians tonight if it wasn't for that river that flows. Well, maybe they'd be Hoosiers. I don't know. But it makes a division, and that division is very clear. You can stand on one side, and you know you're in Indiana. You can stand on the other side, know that you're in Kentucky, and there isn't any doubt about it. And that river of God tonight makes that division, praise God, between us and the world. And we know where we're at, and the world knows where we're at. And thank God, we want them to know where we're at. We don't want them to think that we're part of them. We don't want them to think that we're going in the direction that we're on. And so it's very clear. The river makes that division. And it's very necessary that that division be as it is. There's something about that river that means movement. I mean, it sweeps on. It moves on. It may not be swiftly moving, but it's moving. It's continuing on its way. There's something about the Christian experience tonight that's not a stagnant experience. I tell you, you can stagnate and the wiggle tails and the tadpoles and the mosquitoes and all else may breed there in that situation, and it'd be a very unhappy situation. Maybe a stench connected with that, but go down to the river, they won't have a chance down there because it's flowing on down. I tell you, the individual that has tapped into this stream that God has tonight, there's a new prayer life that's available. There's a new faith. There's new results. There's a new testimony. We can testify about what God has done for us in the past, and that's good. We ought to do that and thank God for it. But I tell you, there ought to be some new hills that we've climbed, some new mountain peaks that we've scaled. There ought to be some new answers to prayer after a while. And I tell you, then we'll have a testimony that's real. We'll have a testimony, thank God, that'll bless our heart and thrill our soul and thrill somebody else that hears us. Thank God. The movement of that river. It denotes continuity. It just keeps on coming. It can be counted on. There's something about the river of God that makes the city of God glad. There's something about it. It just keeps coming. It just keeps moving. There's the grace. There's the flow of God. Our patience run out and our endurance run out, but the grace of God and the river of God just continues to flow on. Praise God. We can say there's no use, and we can give up on people and give up on situations and circumstances tonight, but God doesn't always give up just because we do. Hallelujah. There have been preachers that have given up on situations and circumstances and had everything but a funeral to bury the church, but somebody else come in and pray God and glory down and the devil out, and the wheels begin to turn and revival fire begins to burn. And souls make it to heaven. Praise God. God's river of grace always flows on. There's something about that river that suggests navigation. Whenever we go back home to Missouri, we have to cross the great Mississippi at Cape Girardeau, Missouri, before we cross on over into Missouri. And almost without fail, there's always those big barges that are coming down, or maybe they're docked there pretty close, or they're coming down the stream, and maybe be several of those big old barges that'll be strung out there, one lashed to another, and then the main propelling force that's behind that, pushing that right on downstream. Food and grain and fuel and whatever that may be on that, taking the supplies out or bringing the supplies in. I tell you, what a wonderful thing it is whenever God just sends you a barge load of His presence and of His grace and of His glory in your way. A lot of that grain that goes on there has been contracted grain, and it's on its way for overseas. We were visiting down there some years ago. Whenever I had heart surgery, it would have been about 1980. And my brother-in-law was a farmer, and he had a semi-load of grain that was ready to go over to the elevator that was right there on the river. And I didn't think anything about it. It had just been 3 weeks or something since I'd had surgery, maybe a month at the most. And he said, "Do you want to go with me?" And I said I would. I'd forgot how those semis ride. I tell you, we started out over there, And I would sit and pull myself together to keep from popping apart while we was on our way. And he said, "You know, if you want me to, I'll stop." But I said, "No, just keep going." We made our way over to the river to get rid of that load of grain. God wants to send us what we need. Praise God. navigation. It makes travel easier. Sometimes we can drift on downstream. That's real easy. But if we're going to get back, we'll have to go against the current and go against the waves. And that's slower. And that's not easy. But He'll help us to do it. There's a tremendous amount. I just lifted out a verse out of this fourth verse, out of this 46th Psalm. You can take and get a sermon about out of every verse that's in there. There is a river. Praise God. Whenever it gets dry and it gets dusty, and the going gets hard, remember, there is a river. Ask God to direct it your way. Let's stand.